I'm Jonathan Schofield. We're at the Manchester Art Gallery with Raphael Lozano Hemmer, and we're here for your show here, which is going to be part of Manchester Weekender, I believe, as well. It's one of our audio boos, or so they are called. So, Raphael, could you describe what we've got going on?
Absolutely. I'm doing a show at the Manchester Art Gallery, which is a solo show called Recorders. It is 8 installations. Three of them are world premieres. The rest are all sort of being shown in the UK for the first time. They're called Recorders because these interactive installations basically see and feel and hear the public and record everything in such a way that the public itself becomes the content of the works. Mm. So everything that you see in the show is actually given by the public and displayed for future visitors.
In the social networking world in which we live, this has a very contemporary feel about it. What attracts you to the digital medium? What is it, that idea of surveillance?
Mm. I've been working with technology quite a bit for about 18 years, and the thing about it is that I feel it's inevitable. Like, I'm not working with technology.
What do you mean by inevitable? Inevitable. That we just part of our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Like, McLuhan, I studied in Canada, so obviously I was very influenced by McLuhan, and this whole idea that technology is a second skin, that it's not a tool that you can go and live without, right? The last person who tried to live without technology was Pol Pot. The notion is that my public and everybody watches 4 hours of TV a day. And so how technology actually forms us and how it is inseparable from us is what I mean by inevitable. For instance, even if you're living in a tiny community in Mexico and you've never made a phone call, your life still has a relationship to technological culture, because ultimately the capital of your country is virtual and the decisions on your weather patterns are made by industrialization and so on. So it affects everybody. We all live in that kind of environment.
And you've also almost made an entity of it. It's like a separate physical force now, isn't it? You say second skin, but it's like exists in its own domain somehow.
And it exists within us. That's an interesting thing for me.
So it's like a second nature.
It's a second nature, yeah. Like, the idea is that it's a language. So not a tool, not something that we can separate ourselves with. It's impossible to know what we would be like were we not watching 4 hours of TV a day, because there isn't somebody who does that. And even if they did, like I said, they have a credit card, and so the bank knows where they buy, what they buy, and what they buy. So to me, the idea of working with technology is something that is just coherent with the moment that we're living now, which is globalization, for better and for worse. Using that language connects us to our current situation.
And do you make a judgment call about that? You said for better or for worse, or are you just relaying that?
No, sometimes I do make a judgment call. I can't help myself. But I don't really moralize, or I'm prescriptive about it. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, there are certain very ominous parts of technology that I have big objections to. So, for instance, the most clear here in Manchester is the whole idea of this computer vision. So as you know, CCTV technology has been around for a very long time. And there's been artists who have dealt with this extremely well. So you have Julia Scher, you have Dan Graham, Bruce Nauman, Damien Pike. They've done beautiful shows to criticize or deconstruct or work with CCTV. But now the situation has changed, because no longer do you have an operator behind the camera. The cameras now, by themselves, out of their own autonomy, choose, for instance, to try and look for ethnic traits, right? They do racial profiling. Or they try to detect you against a database of suspicious individuals. So there is a sense of executive control being given now to these cameras, and their prejudices are inbuilt into the technology itself.
So it's a political, there's a political element
there.
There is,
in that sense, in that sense.
And the weird
political
science fiction nightmare endgame here.
Yes.
I mean, do you fear that? Is that what you're trying to point at?
No, I don't. I think it already happened. In that sense, I'm like St. Augustine. I mean, apocalypse happened, and here we are, and this is what's happening. And I think that the challenge for the artist is to then turn around and misuse these technologies, or pervert them, or try to make derivations of these languages that are perhaps critical, or poetic, or absurd, or through slowdown. I mean, to me, very important is that all of the works in the show are out of my control. Mm. There is nobody telling you what to do or not to do. There is not a sense of censorship or moderation. Ultimately, it is people's sort of, you know, self-representation that is going to make what the show is. In that sense, I don't control it. I don't know what the outcome is going to be.
But there are also scenes, just to finish off here, some You obviously have a good sense of humour. There's a bit of playfulness within that. Is that important?
Yeah, very important, because I think that we take, especially ourselves, too seriously. I mean, I think that the culture of representation, the culture of reality TV, the culture of webcams, of Google Street View, and so on, it's also a culture of a certain degree of narcissism, a certain degree of self-importance. So by making sure that you undermine your position and that you know when to take a good laugh, I think that it keeps us a little bit more honest.
Raphael, thank you very, very much for that. This is one of the audio booths for Manchester Weekend.
My pleasure. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
No, absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, just a minute. There is a picture.